Bogged
Up. Blog Talk Radio.
Well, we're here again on a Sunday night. It is the UAW Factory Whistle Show. And for you people that are bumming over NASCAR, it'll be on tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Relax. Scotty is here.
Yes. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And
yes,
interesting week.
Yes, it was.
Remember, this last week we celebrated White Shirt Day. So
I wore white underwear. I celebrated.
Okay, you're all right, man. I don't care what they say about you.
I tell you what, the yellow spots didn't come out, but I still wore them. Relax.
Oh, I guess I'd probably be more worried about the racing stripes than the yellow spots. But, yeah, it's just, just me saying something.
I get
like
excited. I tinkle at my age. At my age. buddy. you don't wake up with a kid in your underwear in the morning. Guarantee that. Anyway, what's going on, brother?
Oh, there's been a lot of stuff going on right now. As we got this coronavirus going around, it seems to be affecting some businesses.
Oh, I bet it is.
And it is funny because I did post on workers, workplaces, and unions. I put this out there so people could see this. One news article says that GM says that the coronavirus won't affect the Chevy Silverado and GM Sierra productions, and they're talking about at Flint. I know that they show a picture of Fort Wayne, but they're talking about Flint because there were some concerns about that. Anyway, that's one story, and then in the exact same day, you had from a different source, it says China's coronavirus threatens GM truck production.
Well, we get some parts from them, you know.
Well, yeah. Well, the caption of the picture that I'm looking at says the United Auto Workers officials in Flint, Michigan, representing workers at the General Motors truck assembly plant in Flint, Michigan, have taken to social media to warn of potential parts shortages at the General Motors truck assembly plant created by the medical emergency in China.
Hmm.
And then you listen to what General Motors saying, oh, no, it ain't going to be no problem at all.
Well, did the UAW, the fearless leaders at 598, did they mention anything about it today?
They said that it is, there's a particular word. No, yes and no, they didn't. They're waiting to see how the part chain supply flows through. That's all they're going to say. So, like, okay. And people worried about the stuff they're getting from China. Does it have the virus on it? How safe is it to handle these parts?
These people, I tell you, it's amazing. You vote these people in, and everything's got to be a damn secret. We can't tell you. We just have to wait. They can never.
Then you're going to love this one. This was no secret. I took offense to it myself, but that's me. Is that, if people don't come in and work this mandatory overtime, and basically, get these trucks out, there is Silao, Mexico.
Oh my God. Did they really say that?
That has been said.
Oh Jesus. What a
wow.
Why somebody, with seniority stand up and tell them to go fuck themselves? Jesus Christ, saying bullshit like that.
Yeah. well,
scare the kids, scare the young people. Yeah, scare the young people.
598 had a courageous young sister step up today and under new business. I hope she'd call in, but anyway, she stepped up under new business and tried to present Article 8, Section 4. The recording secretary told her she was out of order. I said, whoa, we're still on new business. They wanted to move on. They never closed new business up. And there was another particular individual who was a president at another local. He did raise his hand and, you know, point information. And the young lady got to read what she wanted to read, and we might have put that out there. They tried to shut her down, and I said support. As soon as they started saying that, I said support, which upset some people, I think. That's okay.
Oh, yeah.
Let the lady speak. So they put it out there, and they asked, and it was crickets, Don. There was three people who said yes.
That's amazing.
Me, myself, and another individual in the crowd. They said, that's not going to go on here.
I don't think people know. Do they even know what it is?
I don't think they do, and I don't think they want them to know.
No. And our union, the leadership is a bunch of pansies anyway. Oh, we can't do that. It hurt my chances of getting to Detroit.
Yeah.
We let that go through. Bunch of sissy, pansy waste bastards. I'm really disappointed in Eric. Jesus, I thought he would be good.
Well, he's trying, and he's saying he's got hands tied. They're not settling any grievances. They said that Jenna Moore is playing hardball with them now.
Yeah.
And
well, like you know, said, like you said, we talked about it, Scott. Can you blame General Motors? They know we're a bunch of sissies. UAW is nothing what it used to be. So why wouldn't they and play hardball?
You got no leadership. You guys caved caved in on a strike when you had them by the short hairs, and our leadership took us back for nothing. We went on a strike for nothing. And I said at that time, remember, if we win the strike, we'll go back in there, and we'll be treated with respect. If we lose the strike, they're going to treat us like dogs, and that's exactly what we are. We're redheaded step dogs. How's that?
and not to offense anybody that's got red hair.
No. Hey, we like the gingers too, but just saying, you know, and it's rough. They had some discharges. Their General Motors is adhering with a, to quote now, my chairman, bizarre level. What they're doing is with the anything with hate, crime, or sex, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
here's how you get this, Scotty. I'll tell you how you fix their wagon. You send health and safety onto the floor, and they start finding things, and they start shutting this part of the line down. And then that, you know, you keep doing that for a few days, I guarantee you, General Motors truck and bus management will come to the table real quick.
Oh, Bob, we're talking about old school tactics that work. We don't
yeah,
do
I
that.
Know. We used to
we
do that all the
nobody.
Time. We did that
exactly.
When people were in the hot box. Not fired,
exactly.
But just in the hot box.
Yep.
Gee.
And so also this last week, there was a Region 1D which covers 73 Michigan counties.
Right.
They held a special election, and they brought the delegates in, and Steve Dawes was elected the regional representative for Region 1D.
Yeah, what a surprise.
So I'm wondering who's going to be, I wonder if they're going to move Scott Henry up as assistant or if they're going to keep him as a servicing rep.
Yeah, I don't know, buddy.
Yeah, I don't know either, but I'm sure we'll figure out something. But someone that you and I both know who used to be down on the little short line down from where you were at, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Who at one time was elected. So now I'm pretty sure you know who I'm talking about, right?
Right.
He said, look, if your rounds stink, you're gonna stink. I asked about Steve Doss, and he says, if your rounds stink, you're gonna stink. He says, how many years was Doss under Norwood Jewell? I said, yeah. How many years is Doss under a lot of people?
Right. Let me get Jimmy on. Yeah. I think this is Kerry. I don't know if this is Kerry or not. Let me get 734, you're on. We got a whole bunch of people on the switchboard. So if you'd like to join the conversation or add anything, please push 1 on your keypad. Go ahead, Scott.
All right. So, yeah, if you want to join in, please hit 1. So that's kind of what's kind of going on. There's some stuff, and rightfully so. Excuse me. People are having concerns about the parts that we're getting from the Asian countries right now. Hey, is this stuff safe to touch? Is it safe for us to use? No. And I think it's a fair question, and I don't know what they're going to do about it, but they sure haven't stopped any production for it, so I guess we got our answer.
You know what they're going to do about it, Scott. Come on.
Yeah, absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Keep on a run. So,
they got to make up that money.
Right.
That money.
There was some backlash, and I posted this earlier today, and it was put out on Valentine's Day, accordingly. That General Motors is going to pay their salaried workers bigger bonuses despite the turbulent 2019. Going to cut back on the profits that we lost. Yeah, because they said last year, you know, remember the strike and it costs all this money, and that's because of this. That's why the profit sharing was down because of that, and how much money it actually cost them. But lo and behold, they can. Well, look, we're going to pay our salaried workers bigger bonuses. Imagine that.
Jeez.
We're going to screw the union people. But our boys and girls are going to get theirs.
They're just sticking it right up the workers' ass.
Exactly. Now, listen, I know some people who call and listen to this show, you may agree or may disagree with this statement, but I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm going to quote Victor Reuther, we are the backbone of the corporation, period. We generate all that wealth for them.
Sure.
These
don't
guys
act
we got a new assistant plant manager. Our last one was let go. He was told to either quit or he was going to be fired.
Really?
So if anybody from Amazon is listening, don't hire this joker. He's a used car salesman, just saying.
No.
So he said he was going to go. And
Well.
After the show, because I don't get myself in trouble, after the show, I got to tell you where a different person of management from our plant is working now. And you'll find this interesting. But
you can't say it on the air? You got a new job.
Nope.
When can't you?
Well, because he's still with the corporation, so.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, until he moves, I guess we shouldn't say anything.
Yeah, I can tell you personally, but I don't put it over the air. So, remind me to call you after the show. I think we are only going to go to 8 o'clock tonight. That's the plan, unless Arlington calls in and begs again. I didn't say beg. I didn't mean it that way, guys. Anyway.
Yeah, he did.
Hey, Jimmy.
And people, when you write email,
all right, I agree
to your address at the Scotty.
With Scott Henry shit, man. If you look at all he's been under, Jesus Christ, and the other Joker as well. I mean, Christ, they fall under rats and all the pigs. You know, they're probably just a bunch of hogs themselves.
Yeah.
Are you reading the plea agreements, though, Scott? I've been trying to print them up where people can read them. It looks like the one against this Pearson guy, he's going to pay $100 restitution for taking damn near $2 million or whatever the hell it was. But they're leaving the door open for civil lawsuits for the membership to take on the burden of going back after this jackass. Why? Roy Gamble had the golden opportunity to stop everything, yet with the wave of his magic wand, the bastards are getting away with it anyway. And did you tell me what you seen with the paragraph 8 at the local? Any union brother that didn't support that shouldn't be at that meeting on Sunday. And the ones that don't are the ones that got the clipboards that are trying to screw you people so you do more. You know, think about it and look around. Look who's standing up in the back walls of your meetings. Please think. They're there for a reason. They're greed.
And Scotty, you mentioned that today, said standing on the back wall.
Well, that's where I was at. I mean, the chairs are basically full. They are going to be spending $10,000 to get new seats and some tables in the union hall. So
we can play euchre and drink coffee.
There you go.
And tell everybody, well, our union sucks, but we're not going to do nothing about it. There you
exactly.
go.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the pitiful thing about it, Don. Everybody around me where I live out here, it's not that they're against the union. It's all the shit they're reading about us. Why would you, you know, it's like that raccoon in the commercial. Here, taste it. I don't want to taste it. It tastes like shit. I don't want to taste it. Come on, have some. We don't want it either.
I like those commercials myself.
But it's so true when you look at what's going on around us within our own union. They're letting these bastards get away with flat out. I don't understand it. Where is the rest? $100 restitution? God, I want to use a word that you don't want to hear. You know what I mean? Please.
Right.
It's just sad that, well, I mean, $100, that's a kick in the nuts, Your Honor.
What does Grimes have to pay?
Right now, he
ain't
paying
nothing. Exactly.
It says he's helping right now. I mean, and there again, remember what I told you? Look, they've been all around that one name, Ramson, but good old Cal, he must be sucking the right shaft or something.
And I'm gonna give this to you. This is the quote. This is from M Live. Not making this up. This is the opening paragraph. A former UAW executive who started his career working at General Motors plant in Flint used more than $1.5 million in bribes and kickbacks to purchase property, houses, and cosmetic surgery for a relative, federal prosecutors say, in a new sentencing memorandum.
Hey,
you can't make
this
stuff up.
That was a really good tit job. I want you to know that.
Oh, okay. Well,
Oh, did I let that out? I'm sorry, brother. You got her boobs, didn't you? And I remember him bragging about that.
Wow.
But, yeah, I don't know. Like I said, yet they know all this shit, and they're not making – come on. When I grew up, when I was a kid, if I got in trouble and I was a minor, my parents were held accountable for it. And you didn't want that, because if that happened, man, did I get held accountable in the end. But there's no accountability nowadays. How they get a high-class motel in Wisconsin, I'm told where Norwood is, I'm literally told there's hot tubs in the room.
Right. Well, they said that the judge said the sentencing guidelines was for him to serve 46 to 57 months in prison, but the government's recommending from the U.S. District Judge Bernard A. Friedman sentenced him next week to just 24 months in light of Grimes' significant cooperation.
Yeah, and then if you read right down at the very end, it wants to time. It says good timing for cooperation. They're going to actually. It looks like they're going to knock that down to 10. That's why Tom Adams was going off on me the other day, and then he got on
right.
me. Apparently, my 9-year discharge and all that shit was over something. Even though we have a police report, I was never brought up on charges, so therefore there's no record of it now. Paul Baxter's going crazy. He goes, how the hell can that be? I was interviewed by two different police officers, you know? But, yeah, they're good at covering their ass. I mean, well, hell, the only thing they're really not good at is just stealing and setting fires. Think about that.
Right.
I have to laugh at that one.
Oh,
that was funny.
How's our girl doing in the background?
Hi, how's everyone?
Very good.
All right.
No.
Five. If you weren't listening, 598 was unsuccessful in passing Article 8, Section 4. There were three votes. They tried to shut the sister down. It was just terrible, Adrian. It was terrible, but. That's okay. Brother Keller sent me a message here a little while ago, and one of the big locals, I want to say 249, does that sound right?
That in New York?
Locals?
Okay.
No.
I don't know.
That's the one in Pennsylvania.
I'm thinking it's got to be a Ford plant, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, it's a Ford plant down in, I believe, Pennsylvania, Kentucky area, something like that.
Kentucky. That might be, well, that might be it.
No, 862.
Yeah. 862 is the big one.
What is it, Scott?
Right.
249 is in Missouri.
I'm coming.
Local
I'm coming.
249 is Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Missouri Truck Plant, they have around 7,800 members. They just passed Article 8, Brian told me.
Rock on. Thank you, Missouri.
All right.
Showing us.
There you go.
Yes. Local 598 could have helped have done that, and that would have been another 5,000 people right there.
Wow. Not the...
How many members in 279? You have... Have any idea how many?
7,800. 7,800
members. 7,800.
So that brings it up to around 50,000.
Clay Como.
I believe it does.
Congratulations. And I want to congratulate that young lady that stood up and did that today at 598. That took guts. And very proud of her. Very proud of her. And, Scott, there's a young man you were telling me about. I'm not going to mention any names, but that got fired. Can you talk about that or not?
A little bit. I've had some conversations with him a little bit. And it appears he was trying to do his job, and they said he wasn't doing his job. And I believe that he took a picture of some paperwork to prove that he had done what he said he was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed that to someone in management, and they fired him for taking a picture inside the plant. Because that's their policy. There's no video or pictures allowed inside the plants. So, and that's where he's at. And he was not written a grievance before he left the plant.
Wow.
Yeah. Never leave the plant without writing a grievance. Also know this, in some instances, Scott, you can take a picture. We took a picture in 19, my first year on committee in 235. We had a problem with oil in one area of a department, and we stuck a ruler down into the oil and took a picture. These people were forced to stand in 2.25 inches deep of oil. Because of that picture, when it got to the umpire, it made it an instant winner. But yes, in most instances, you cannot take a picture. But seeing how it was just showing a depth, he allowed that. You know, there for some reasons you can do that.
Right. Well, this from what I understand, the instance was that there was equipment ordered to do the job correctly.
Mm-hmm.
The individual was training other individuals, and he was doing two different jobs at the time, and they needed something ordered, or they had to prove that it was ordered, and that's what he took a picture of to prove that they did, and then management lied about it, and then I'm hearing some background noise. Is that me?
No, I don't know what
that
is. Why
do you mean?
I'm hearing a lot of it, too, but that's okay.
So anyway, he took the picture to prove what he was doing, and they fired him for taking the picture to show that he took a picture of the paperwork to show that that's what he had done. Exactly. And then managed to try to cover it up, and they went back to check and said, no, they had ordered this. And it's turned into like a he said, she said kind of a thing. And so it appears as though somebody from our local union kind of sided with the management on this, and he wasn't written a grievance before he was discharged.
Jesus.
And he has asked for help, and from what I'm hearing, he's not getting any help from our local, which is disheartening. And also, today's union meeting, we were told, I was trying to tell Don before the show, called him real quick to tell him, that Detroit's playing hardball with all the grievances right now. The General Motors, they're playing hardball with the grievances right now. So,
well, we know a way around that, but of course, you got to have guts, and our Eric doesn't have any guts.
Well. I'm going to just stay mute on the whole thing right now because I tell you right now what's going on.
I don't have to. Or,
right.
You know, send out health and safety and start finding things. Well, shut it down. And you do that a few times. We used to do it, and it worked out just fine. They don't want to shut the line down. And I'm sure they can find some stuff for health and safety in that plant.
Exactly.
All you have to do is look. Let me get Peggy. Let me get Miss Peggy on. I didn't even see her number up there. Miss Peggy, you're on with us, dear.
Hello. I was gone for 2 weeks because my father had passed away last week, and I was up at Traverse City seeing my dad for one last time, and then I and that's why you have not heard me in a while. But I'm going to say this about this thing about the salary people getting a bigger bonus while the workers suffer. That's all wrong. Essentially, what GM did, they lied to the workers, you know, that GM was losing money so they can turn around and give the extra money over to the management instead to the workers. I want to say that the workers are the one that keeps these automakers going and not the management. And,
wow.
So, that's a big lie right there that, when GM went out on strike stating they lost millions of dollars, which is not true. I like to, I know where they got that extra money from. They stole it from the workers, and then they gave it to the salary workers, by the bigger bonus. That's what they did. They stole it from the workers.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
Yeah, I hope everybody agrees with me on it. That's exactly what they did.
Wow.
Well,
just
I agree.
To make it clear, that's nothing new. They always do that. They've done it. They've done it for a number of years. We made concessions. Go back in 2009, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. And we made those concessions, and what did they do? Oh, we're going to give the salary, their bonuses, their raises, and we got nothing.
Yep.
It's nothing
That's
new.
Cool.
It's time for the members of the UAW to start understanding that you are nothing but, and I hate to say it this way, but it's true, a slave. That's all you are to them.
That's true.
The power is in our hands. And as long as we keep saying yes, 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 they're going to continue to make sure that they give the salary people their raises and their bonuses. And we, the workers that do all of it, will get nothing.
Here, here.
Peanut shells. So we can't be angry. We really can't be angry at the corporations. We
mm-hmm.
have to be angry with ourselves.
Yeah,
those
absolutely.
Of us that are just, I don't know where our brains are, that we think that we don't cover our own interests. We cover everybody else's interests.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is why
so,
I tell the workers, you need to vote no on those concessionary contracts. And they look at me. I even get some dirty look from some of those workers, and they think I'm nuts. But I'm not nuts. I just say when I tell these things to the workers before, I tell them for a reason. I just tell them facts. If you continue to say yes, you're not going to get anywhere. Well, lo and behold, nobody's not getting anywhere these days.
And Peggy, I agree with you wholeheartedly. But there seems to be that our hands are tied. We try to give them the knowledge. We try to show it to them. Do you see this? And it's like, and then what do they do? Oh.
They turn their head the other way. That's what they did.
Exactly.
And they let out the other ears. That's what they did. Dumb.
And it's frustrating. It's frustrating for us because we want better for everybody.
Yeah.
If you don't want it for yourself, what can we do?
Well, we can only do so much, and that's it. I had tried for so long, for so many years when I was working to get these people to understand where we're at, and, you know, enough is enough of the concession. Nobody don't want to listen, you know, they just want to play dead on this one.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. Just don't know what to do anymore.
Exactly.
Stuck. It's like we're stuck. It's
what we have is. Go ahead, Peggy.
I even tried, you know, passing out handbills. I used to, you know, pass out leaflet handbills right inside the plant, you know, telling them why you should vote no on the concessionary contract, tell them why the contract is bad. And I did everything I could, and, you know, and nothing would work.
What we have is a failure, and that's not from, especially us on this show, all the participants on this show, we have not done this, but what we have is a failure from a lot of our leaderships at our locals who fail to educate their members.
True.
And it gets worse when certain locals feel that they are obligated to help Solidarity House with whatever they have going, and what they do is they intentionally don't educate new members, and when these newer members come in, they don't understand what cost of living allowance was.
Yeah.
They don't understand what some of the benefits that we had that we lost were. They don't understand that we would have never tolerated two-tier pay systems, let alone three, four, and five pay systems. They would have understood, they would have educated in the old school from like us on this show, understand, was our job was to help a brother up, not to step on a brother's head to push him down so I could get farther ahead.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be an injury to one was an injury to all. Not anymore.
That's true.
We have so many different levels of injuries within our union now, against the membership and with the membership, not just the leadership. I agree with you, Adrian. People need to understand that you have the power. It's up to us to do with how we want to wield it.
Right.
And if you try to do something like what's happening today at Local 598, and that's how you want to treat members who are trying to do something for the whole of the membership, well, then maybe it's time you look at reelecting some people or unelecting some people and electing new people who have the concerns for the employees. Just the thought.
No, I agree with that.
Let me get 586 on. Go ahead, Adrian.
If you're not, you know, it's time for people or our membership to look at the fact of stop voting your buddies in there because that's your friend. Is your friend doing the job even before he gets elected?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the buddy system is not a good system.
No.
You're supposed to be trying to elect the people that's going to do the best that they can for you. That has always been a problem for me, what I always looked at. Because I always looked at, oh, this is my friend, I got to vote for him. But your friend is dumb as AF.
Amen.
I want to put a dummy in there. I mean, this happened so many times that I saw it. Have a committee person that ain't got a clue.
Well, true.
I'm going to get back to you, and they don't get back to you because they still don't have a clue.
Right.
A committee, you're electing people that have never read a contract book. You elect people that know nothing about a constitution, let alone the bylaws. You know, it's, I don't know. We have real issues. And the only thing that we can do is to continue to give our knowledge, continue to try to teach, continue to try to be there and help you go on this right path, so to speak.
Adrian,
yes.
Yeah, I'm going to say that it was in the early 90s when they stopped, when the leadership stopped educating the new members on what the real leadership, on what a real union is. They stopped educating these new members back in the early to mid-90s. And that's why these new workers don't have no clue what a real union is. That's the reason why. And what it is these leadership, they did it in a way so they can steal all the power away from the membership. That's why these all the new members, all these members are left dumbfounded because they never been educated what a real union is. And I can remember when I, back in the late 70s, all the way through about the mid 80s or late 80s, they used to educate all the new members as they were higher in. But in the span of time, like in the mid 80s, that's when, in the early 80s, around early 80s, that's when these big three automaker has stopped hiring new workers, and then they start closing plants and they started moving workers around. They started moving workers around in the mid 80s. And this is where the 1785 seniority came into being GM started closing plant and they come up with a seniority for people that were hired, before that time. And this is where we really start losing our seniority rights and then start losing things that the first generation, all the workers have fought for. So during that time, actually, the Big Three has not started hiring new workers until at least around the middle 90s, like around, I want to say around 94 to 96. That's when they actually started hiring new workers. And by that time, these new workers were never educated on what a real union is, because this is where things really fell apart at that time.
I agree with you, Peggy. I was hired in 96, but
I was
a little bit different. Well, I was a little bit different because I come from a UAW family. And these were things that we discussed around our dinner table. So when I came in, because my father retired in 77, and my uncles retired in the 80s. My brother retired in 2005. My mother was a chief steward with Amalgamated Clothers. So you see, I had all this union background. Yeah, I had a lot of union background when I came into the plant.
Oh, that's good.
Matter of fact, it scared my brother once he found out I was working. My brother didn't know I had obtained a job at Ford's. Mm-hmm. And he didn't know until I got 60 days in. I wouldn't tell him. And once I told him, he was like, uh-oh. Oh, because, see, I'm not like my brother. He's quiet, you know. I'm not a quiet one. So, and I remember, you know, I think right around my 60 days, I had a committee man come and tell me, oh, they're going to pink slip you on Friday.
Ooh.
And I looked at him and I said, I don't give a whatever y'all going to do. And I reached down in my bag and I pulled out six letters and I gave them to him. I said, choose any one of them and read it. And he read it and he said, wow. I said, you see, I don't have to be here. When I walked across this threshold, I got a job at Forge. When I walk across this threshold again, I'll have a job making more money than I make here at Forge. I'm here for a different reason.
There you
and
go.
He didn't understand, but his eyes got really big when he saw the kind of money that these other jobs were offering me. Needless to say, I didn't get a pink slip. But the other thing is, also, I told him, if I need representation for this, okay, I'll call you. Because they were giving me some problems. I was, when I first came to Forge, I was in the military. I was a reservist in the Navy.
Okay.
And so they were telling me, oh, you know, they're not going to pay you. And I just looked at them and smiled. And I told the committee man, I might need you to fill out a grievance. And he told me, well, there's nothing we could do for you. I said, really? I said, you're talking to the wrong person. And I don't care what you tell these other people out here. But as long as you MFs are taking money out of my check, don't you ever tell me what you can't do. I said, because, see, I'm not like everybody else. All of y'all just will be in court. I'm not playing with you. So, you see, when I came back from my active duty, I got all kinds of money from Ford Motor Company. So I was, you know, because I knew what my rights were and because I had a contract book when I first come in and I read it, and I don't read a contract book once. I read it 3-4 times, and I highlight it. I was not playing with them. So if you don't know your job, I know how to protect me.
Amen.
That is the one thing that I try to tell everybody. You need to know how to protect yourself. And if you can't protect yourself, try to surround yourself by other people that have some knowledge so they can help you. Not do it for you, help you, because you need to learn. So I don't know. Like I said, we got a whole lot of members, and I look at all of the different groups, and I read a whole lot of comments. I haven't been doing it lately, but I read a lot of comments, and I can tell that these people do not read their contracts. They just don't.
Yeah.
And they're very divisive.
There were some things come up this last week with contracts, if I remember right.
Hang on, Scott. Let me get 734. I think it's Carrie. Yeah. Carrie, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hello, baby.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. At work.
Glad to hear that.
Well, how are you? Well, I'm glad everybody's doing well. anyway, there was some stuff going on with contracts. I did post on Workers' Replacement Union a YouTube video. I didn't see how old it was. It's not real old. It might be back from contract time. And it says fix GM now. And it's an interesting video. But there was, I don't remember if it was Brian who posted this. It was Brian. No.
Is it on the YouTube?
It was on multiple pages, Peggy, and I'm trying to think where I thought I reposted it. Somebody was having problems with local unions again with some contracts, and then somebody posted something, and I can't find it for the life of me, and I apologize. Somebody actually had questions about the national contracts. It was the white pages for Chrysler. Somebody actually posted the pages, and I guess what's being done is something other than in the contract. Somebody put the contractual language out there, and the contractual language has, like, a loophole in it, so to say. So the corporation is using that loophole, and this individual was quite upset about it. And I thought I posted. I guess I didn't. But that's out there. Here we go again, you know, we got bad contracts, and now these corporations are going to start using these contracts against us.
Problem is that contract has got way too many loopholes, so the corporation going to take advantage of all the workers as much as they can, because there's so much loophole in that crappy contract.
Okay,
we need to quit calling them loopholes. We need to quit calling them loopholes. They told us right in the damn contract while we were voting on it that they were going to come back and renegotiate this shit, and that's what they're doing. I understand that. Again, like the lady said, they don't read it, don't understand it, so now it's their time to get it right up the butt. Well, guess what? You ain't even getting KY jelly from Mary Barra. Get your ass back to work.
Right. Well, this is actually JNAP posted this. I'm going to put my spectacles on so I can read this right. Highlights of a contract passed out by union before the vote. Fake news? Question mark. Contract vote legal now? Looking for one-time $1,000 into the 401k traditional employees. Page 344. Reference in the highlights is not there, and others missing benefits in the highlights. Who is involved in publishing and distributing the highlights and the white book? There. I'm glad I found it. So,
again,
was in the highlights.
Go back to what I was saying, Scott, that on that page they're talking about it, so they had the right to go back and renegotiate it. So they took away that $1,000 going into their 401k, if I'm remembering that. You did post that, and I'm spinning like hell to find it. I've seen it now. Brian had it on that Solidarity Now GM, whatever it is.
Yeah. I found it. I did borrow that from the brothers over the JNAP Constitutional Slate, and it was posted 7 hours ago. They posted it when the admins posted it. The day before Valentine's Day. So, anyway, that was a question. And then there was another one. I've seen two other people had questions about stuff that's been going on with the contract. And it's hard to say, you know. Brother Keller did post some good information that if you have any issues on a local level trying to get Articles 8, 30, or 31 passed because of local leadership, you might want to think about reporting it to U.S. Attorney Matthew Schneider, 211 West Fort Street, Suite 2001, Detroit, Michigan, 48226, United States. Phone number is area code 313-226-9100.
lot of brothers and sisters need to understand that the UAW Constitution is the workers' tool to make your elected people accountable. Understand that book, read that book, and then that book tells you how you're to make them enforce the contract that they negotiated for all of us, not just them. And they do it so very well that they make sure their buddies, like she said, I voted for him because he's a buddy of mine. Well, in doing so, then he gets an appointed job. Now you got two assholes that know nothing other than their butt buddies. And that's what we're dealing
right.
with.
You know, Adrian, something just hit me. I mean, when you're talking about electing people, whether it be your friend, your buddy, your girlfriend, or whatever it is, you know, your BFF, there was a rule that a very smart man had. And I will quote Mr. Danjan on this. There are two reasons.
Oh boy!
There are two reasons that people run for position. They either run for the power and the control, or for the honor and the privilege to serve. That is it. That's true in our politics. That's true in our union. That's true in anybody who's running for an office. And I've never been able to argue that point with him.
Nope.
And I don't think I'm going to argue that point yet to this day. You run
hard
for the power
to try
and
to
control.
Argue, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's either you run for the power and the control or for the honor and the privilege to serve those who wish you're seeking their votes. It's amazing. And if the committee men at any of these locals understood the true power that they wield, they actually have almost more power than the top chairman does, because the people in their district are the only people they have to answer to. And if they have a committee person, if they have a good committee person, they'll take care of those problems without having to write a grievance, because a grievance is a problem unresolved. But if you have a good committee person and he can't get a problem resolved, he's not afraid to write a grievance, let alone multiple grievances. And then, like Don would say, and how some of us on this show would do, is, gee, maybe it's time to get health and safety out here and let's start doing some walk through these areas. Just a thought.
Motivational. Is it still not in the language, Scott, that they're supposed to do a health and safety walk every week through the plant? Back when I was involved in that, as the committee man of Plant 3, I had to walk that plant once a week for health and safety. What I used to get a kick on it is, man, you would be amazed how many supervisors would just stay. I used to stop behind this one foreman's job, just stand there. And finally he came up to me after a week later. He goes, what do you got back here that's wrong? I had nothing back there. He told me five things that I didn't even know about.
Wow.
I mean, it's just so amazing how... But I don't think they do any of that shit anymore. I mean, when I mention health and safety, now they're like, well, who's our health and safety rep? You don't know who your health and safety rep is? That's a shame on you. You should know who your health and safety rep is, just like you should know who your benefit rep is.
I know who our health and safety department is, 90% of them. All I got to say is one name. And Don, you might recognize this, Robinson.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I recognize that name.
Well, the one father, he's in a different position now. The one father has retired, but his son is now in the safety department. And one of the daughters is now in the safety department. And I just keep going. Just saying. Yeah. So it's a family affair. What can I tell you?
FBI, families, buddies, and in-laws. Remember that.
Yeah. You know, it's just amazing with what went on with the what I refer to, I stole this moniker from these guys at work, the Center for Hidden Relatives. you know, the CHR.
I like that.
And we're getting these people back into all these plants. And it's not just General Motors. Ford and Chrysler, people are getting their people back too. Where are these people winding up? Because I'm finding they hit the floor, and within a month, they either have preferred jobs or they are on special appointed jobs now.
Well, what cracks me up is I'm reading that case about Grimes, and then it talks about Michael, his son. I know people, he got in so much trouble at GM, his daddy negotiated for him to get moved over to Ford. You read that article, don't say nothing about any of that bullshit. How much did that cost us to get that to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, think about that. Like I said, he got hooked up bad in the drugs at GM, so daddy got him over to Ford. They thought he cleaned up, but we now know the end of the story is he did not. But daddy still put a charity in his name after he was dead, so don't tell me how innocent Mr. Grimes is.
Right.
I mean, think about that, sisters and brothers. The man put a nonprofit charity into his deceased son's name.
Pretty sad.
Okay.
That's a sad man.
You know, I mean, the kid tried, and I understand, he had a lot of pressure. I'm not trying to make excuses for him, but I try to understand the situation a little bit. He was in over his head, a lot of pressure to do what he could do. He didn't understand the machine in which he was operating with. He didn't understand how to handle some of the pain, how some people did. And what happened was he ended up getting out, going back to production. And he had, like I said, he wound up at our plant, and he'd actually cleaned up his life and was doing well. And one night he had a relapse, and it was an unintentional overdose, and he's gone. He's still a young man in his 30s. You know, and he had a very fast, quick moving union career and wound up back on the floor and ultimately deceased. So, I mean, it's a sad situation, but I know what you're saying. I mean, and there's other cases that people got their kids. I mean, let's look at the Jewel boys. They're down in Solidarity House right now. What did they really do to deserve to get down there? How much time did they actually serve
legacy,
on that floor?
They become legacy workers with a pension. Think about that, folks. A lot of people don't realize that. They now get a pension.
True.
That's right.
Yes. You know,
yeah.
I mean.
By the way, we have 41 people in the switchboard. If you'd like to join the conversation, please push 1 on your keypad. Thank you. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey. Oh, yes, Dark Samurai. I took over my wife's old computer and he's logged in here. So when you see me in the chat room, is that. Yeah, that's me, not my whole wife.
Okay. I was just wondering.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, I really upgraded. I got her old whatever the Microsoft touch computer thing is that she had. I got that, and it's so much better than my old HP that I had. So we just left everything alone. I just log in. But I'm getting a message, and I'm trying to make sure that I'm okay. Okay, I can mention it. All right, so here it is. Somebody just sent me this. They said, with the Schneider DOJ, it will add to a criminal RICO case being filed. So it's what the case, but the feds case is also going to intertwine with a civil RICO case getting filed in the near future, when Jimmy was talking about. Somebody else listening to the show right now, they want to come on. I mean, I don't think they've been on the show, but they've listened. But there is a rumor about a civil RICO case being filed against corporations and the union regarding criminal abuse within collective bargaining that would be great make people squirm. But that's just all they've got on there right now. So Jimmy, you're right. There's some stuff that they're looking around this. There's some more stuff being attached to these lawsuits or these court cases. So
another thing, if anybody's noticing, notice how they're tiptoeing around, but they're staying away from Ford Motor Company. Why?
I don't know.
I think everybody's applying to win that lottery home there in Florida that Jimmy Suttle's got, right? Everybody's entitled to one. You just got to go up the union chain.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, if I remember right, that was like a $700,000 house, and they got a really good deal for like $450 or something like that, right?
Yeah, that was at reduced. I think that was at tier two pricing or something like that.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Well, you know, that's just it. We've done Chrysler, done General Motors, but yet we haven't heard who any of these counter people are from Ashton or Grimes or anybody from the regional level, who their counterpart is from the corporation. Why have we not heard one person's name mentioned? That's the counterpart.
There was only
all these
the one,
officials.
Was there not? That one guy from Chrysler. What was his name? There was one from Chrysler that went down. Yeah, he was the only one I can. There was actually two. There was another black man, I think, that went down there in the beginning.
Yes.
But yeah, other than that, it's all been union people, I believe. It takes two people to dance. Not one person can sign a check out of the HR. It takes one management, one union thief. It takes a thief on each side of the table to take our money. Understand that, people.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. You reminded me of something. And Adrian, you might have caught this last week, and you might have too also, Jimmy. Somebody has been posting that if you stop and think about last fall when a fellow by the name of Sandiford, who was representing General Motors, sent Mr. Dykes a letter that they were going to withdraw our health care. Somebody said the funny situation is when that's all going on, they're both directors at the Human Resource Center.
That's true.
They both knew about this and put these letters out in public.
Yeah.
When they're probably just down the hall.
September 26th.
Yeah.
The letter was dated September 26th.
Right. And they're just down the hall. So they've had some conversation with each other about this. It makes my blood boil to think that, you know, you guys played this out amongst the memberships at General Motors during the strike when you two assholes sat there and talked about this. It's infuriating. And I'm not making this up, people. I'm just telling you, I'm not making this up. That's just how it is. They're in the same building. They're on the same director of the human. They're both directors of the Center for Human Resources when this is going down. Mm-hmm. So they talk to each other daily. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Switch the subject real quick. The electric truck battles is about to start here soon. I want to know who's betting on who to have the first electric truck really rolling out there in production. Any thoughts?
Well, I know, you know, like Lordstown, they already got Lordstown ready to produce the battery for the electric vehicle, and also they're getting that former GM Lordstown plant ready to produce the truck. They already changed the sign on there called Lordstown Motors or something like that. They took
they didn't.
But the local number stayed the same.
Correct.
Yeah. It's still the same. The local 11, 12 is still there, yeah. But they already changed the sign on the plan. That's the only thing they did. And they stripped off the, you know, that big picture of the Chevy Cruze that used to be on the new, you know, on the new paint shop. So,
right.
I'm going to go with the one that Ford bought out from under GM when they said they were going to stop, because that's the one that makes the skateboard platform, and that's going to be the one that Chuck's built on, is on the skate platform.
Oh, the Rivian?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
the Rivian.
GM sold that at 9 o'clock in the morning. Ford bought it at 9:07 a.m.
Oh,
it was on the market
right
for 7 minutes.
Right.
I remember Dick telling me, so 7 minutes.
7 minutes. So what you have is you have General Motors has to retool DHAM to make any of their large, we'll call them large platform electric utility vehicles. Ford has supposedly got an F-150 that is electrified. I've not seen one on the road or seen anybody in the dealership with one yet. You have Rivian, who is ready to gear up, who has got big money behind from Ford and from Amazon. You have Tesla getting into his little niche market with his, we'll call it the Cybertruck. And a lot of people aren't aware. A lot of people aren't aware of this one. Is has anybody heard of Nikola?
Thank you.
Nikola is coming out with what they call the Badger electric pickup truck.
Oh, wow.
And what this is, and this one actually looks pretty good. I have posted some pictures. I'll have to share it again. This one actually looks like a pickup truck. It's going to be, I'm going to say, state of the art. And if people are going to get out here in this market with these electric vehicles, especially electric pickup trucks, I think Rivian is going to have their hands full of this. This thing here is a bad boy. It goes from 0 to 60 miles an hour in 2.9 seconds. It has up to 980 pounds of torque. It's the equivalent of having 906 horsepower. It has up to a 600 mile range.
Wow.
That's almost like double of even the cars. And when you look up its towing capacities is unreal. I've not been much with trucks or truckers and how people have to figure out runs and elevation when they're going through the mountains. You know, with the grades, like 7% grade over so long, you know, by the time a semi is at the top of this certain grade, it's downshifting to a slowest gear to just keep moving, right? This thing will have a continuous 455 horsepower. It's got 160 kilowatt flooded module lithium-ion battery with 120,000 kilowatt fuel cell. It's got a super capacitor launch assist that blends with the lithium-ion fuel cell and a fuel cell. So it can really do it. It operates to a negative 20 degrees Fahrenheit operating environments without any major performance parts. Performance loss. Its towing capacity has over 8,000 pounds, and when you load the vehicle itself down, it can handle up to 18,000 pounds on a 3% steady grade without no power loss.
Nice.
My question, those are all impressive things, but
sure.
How long does it take to charge it when you're down in power?
You know, it doesn't say. And that's, that's a good question.
And another question is there enough charging stations around the states?
True.
To charge that.
Well, now the Well, what they have is they have one of these. You're gonna be able to get two forms. One being battery only version. You'll love this one. The other is gonna have a battery and a hydrogen fuel cell set up.
Ooh.
So you're gonna be able to run off hydrogen. So I need water, right?
And how much are these vehicles gonna cost? That's the main thing.
I don't know. I'm betting this. If I look at this bad boy, I bet you're probably looking at $100,000.
Ow.
But I don't think these. I don't think these electric trucks are gonna be cheap. Do you?
No.
No.
They're not gonna be cheap. They're gonna be at least probably about 75, I'd say.
Right.
Or enough.
So if
depending
right.
on any options.
But yeah. So I mean, if you price out one of these, let's say, for example. Just being facetious here, but for example, you get the GMC Hummer that's going to be made at Detroit Hamtramck. Let's say you load that thing up, got the leather and, you know, all of the stuff. Let's say you're looking at $80,000. And you look at this truck over here, and it's got two forms of power. It's got battery and hydrogen, and it's $100,000, and it's going to have, you know, they think they said that the Hummer's going to have a thousand equivalent to 100,000 horsepower. At least this place is putting some pretty good stats out, and that's all it is right now. It's marketing.
The electric vehicle's $80,000, Scott. If you want the hydrogen package, you bump it up to 120,000. But all the reviews on it says they make a lot of noise and produce a lot of nothing since the very start of the beginning of this company. In 2016, they took $35,000 deposits to build some vehicles. Those people are still waiting for those vehicles. It's been a long time coming, has it not? Those are some of the write-ups about this people. Yeah, it's quite interesting.
Oh, so you've seen this truck I've been talking about then?
I've been looking at it. I Googled it. It's really cool looking. But like I said, when you start reading all the reviews of the company, they're not very good on their word.
Plus, too, it's like still the UAW worker will still never afford those.
Right. Well,
right.
Yeah.
Unless you
we're already having
work your
that
ass
problem
off to
now,
get it.
My friend. We're already having that problem now. Our friends up in Bay City, I mean, a lot of our shops that help supply our parts can't buy our vehicle. A lot of, I would say, our tier two people bringing up a family would have a hell of a time buying a brand new vehicle at today's price and the deer in my front yard. Did you hear the alarm?
What? Uh-oh. Was that was?
That's the deer walking through my front yard.
Yeah.
Well, you might want to make sure that's a deer and not somebody else walking through your front yard. Just saying.
No, it is. Liz is out there looking at him. I already told him the other day, when they get 10 feet with the freezer, we got a problem.
That's a good one.
You know, it has some good high-speed beep. At 10 feet from the freezer, he jumped in, man. Coat and all.
Oh, man.
Wow, and also it takes 8 hours to charge that battery from 30% to 90, and the last
10%.
Yeah, that.
How many?
Where are you going to be able?
9 hours. I figured they didn't have fast systems on it to charge.
Yeah, well, right now they don't. It says they currently need to get a system like Tesla, or get an agreement to use Tesla's system. If they got to use Tesla's system, that would knock it down to 4.5.
But see, Tesla's system, they're having problems with too, recharging stuff.
Right.
I just seen they put one over here in Swartz Creek at the Myers. I don't know nothing about it. You know, I don't have nothing.
Plugs. Wasn't the plugs? It's the hookups for the Teslas, right? Isn't that what they're having problems with?
Yep.
With going to the charging stations? Because
that
Tesla has its
certain
own
batteries that they're having problems with too that aren't holding enough charge.
Right, and they're finding that the cold weather, which the cold weather, and they're finding that salt because of
the road in that battery packs too.
Yep, the road salt's hard on everything, but it seems like you're gonna have to find some kind of a plastic or a polymer to cover those battery packs. A better way to seal them up so that the road salt can't get to them.
Well, the problem is it's the cables. It's not the packs itself. It's the connections that are getting eroded
and throwing
the packs off. Because you get that residual debris on it. It starts taking the power from the battery also.
Oh, yeah. So it's kind of like a short almost. Kind of ground in and out.
Exactly.
It's pulling the power. Right.
So it's like if you have the engine in the front, it's like, or, you know, wherever it's at, you know, it's still exposed. It's not a sealed unit, you know, where they need to. But you can't really seal it because it produces heat, you know.
Right.
Unless you have
a
different ventilation system, you know, they're all right, but the engineering design on it, no. They got to do something with it.
See, it sounds like they should get a hold of you. You got to tell them I got a solution for your problem, and it only costs you $2 million. I'll help you out.
I tell them I got a solution worth your problem if we renegotiate the contracts.
Oh, there you go.
I want everybody on the same board.
There you go.
Scott. All this bullshit, they're saying the electric vehicle is the way to go. What are you going to do when these skateboard batteries and these batteries go to hell? Where's all this mass shit going to go? What landfill? You going to bury it 2 miles from Lake Huron and like Canada was going to do with nuclear waste? I mean, you're just going from one nightmare to another. In essence, only this one, you're going to need a lot less people to build it. That's another thing people don't realize. To build an electric vehicle, shit, you probably need 10% of the workforce we have now.
Right. Well, isn't there a way to recycle the lithium ion? They do recycle the lithium ion
batteries.
But isn't
it a new battery that they're looking at now that they want to use? Instead of the lithium ion?
Right. But if you go to hydrogen, if you do a hydrogen fuel cell, why would I even worry about getting all electric?
Yeah, because that's just water. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and that's the way we should be going, but our politicians and the crooks in the swamp and everybody else, they don't want that shit because there's a lot less money for their greedy paws when you go to hydrogen.
Yep.
You don't need Shell Oil no more. You don't need all these people. You don't need your Saudis. Think about that.
There's with hydrogen, though, I'll never forget the old man, and everybody who's been on this show for almost 15 years will remember, General Motors donated they didn't donate. They let the city of Detroit use a bus, a city bus in 1968 that ran on hydrogen fuel cells. General Motors had this technology since at least the
60s. Right.
Now, the reason we're not hearing hydrogen anything from anybody is because the federal government isn't giving any tax abatements for hydrogen, nothing.
Wow.
It's all about electric.
Because of the greedy people in the oil business. And like I said, all
the
people are paying their lobbyists to keep our ass and our hydrogen out of the market.
And if you find out where you get cobalt, unfortunately, it's a lot of places they have child labor that go and dig this poisonous stuff that kills a lot of these people up out of the ground.
Yeah.
It is.
There's a lot of places like that right now.
Yeah.
Amen.
And now, while we're talking about hydrogen and fuel cells, now 2 years ago, General Motors presented the HR2 Colorado to the U.S. Army. The one of the generals, I can't remember his name, he was a younger fella. I was surprised, probably his early 50s, was some kind of a general for the Army. He has since retired from the Army and has went to work for General Motors to help with this platform of their industry. And they really liked this Colorado. And you can find them on YouTube. Excuse me, you can find them on Google. The Army was really pleased with that. Of course, the one that they had for the Army wasn't probably one like we would be able to get. But they showed how well this worked. The U.S. Army has asked General Motors, look, we like these, but we want them in a full-size truck, like the heavy-duty trucks you build in Flint with a hydrogen fuel cell. And since that's happened a couple of years ago, I've not heard nothing from anybody about the hydrogen fuel cell Colorado or any plans on making that in a full-size truck version. So, food for thought on that, but I'm just saying, I read some of the reviews from some of these people that I think even Car and Driver or Road and Track got access to one of these hydrogen fuel vehicles and was actually really impressed with the power that it had for a small truck or a mid-sized truck, I guess you'd call it. So there's options out there, folks. It's just, like Jimmy says, it's tied with some money somewhere, and somebody doesn't want to be made. At least not yet. But it'd be kind of cool. I don't know. I think it'd be kind of cool to have a vehicle, you know, ran like that. I don't know about you. And DeLorean does come clean. They are going to produce a new GMC 12S.
Okay.
And if you get a chance to look at this, it's pretty sleek looking. It's impressive. So, we'll see what happens with that. But so, anyway. I'm just wondering, because remember when the original DeLorean came out, he had a deal worked out with General Motors. He was going to use their powertrain. And also work with some suppliers that were supplying General Motors.
Well, he was from GM.
Well, yes, he was. But I'm wondering if that's going to happen again, or if they have to find all their own suppliers now. Just a thought, you know.
It's going to be amazing when it all comes out and we see all the way these new names are in, like the old Lordstown plant and this plant and the Marion thing and the stamping and these little side communities or whatever you want to call them of all these, what do you want to call it, where modular component assemblies being set up. Who's going to own them? Because I think you're going to see GM's getting back into that game like we were before when we had Delphi, only they're going to have a different name and it's going to be a hell of a lot cheaper money being paid to the worker with no benefits, but they're going to be the ones raking in all the rule. They gave it away at 30 and they're taking it back at 15. Think about that.
Right.
And no pensions. I mean,
wow.
I don't want to paint an ugly picture, but damn it, you got to look at the wall and read the writing on it. And then if you want to say it's lying, you need to go find a couch with a psychiatrist because you're way past learned helplessness.
Right. Wow. Interesting. Well, we have about 2 minutes left, right, Donnie?
I don't know. Yes. If you say so, Scotty.
Oh.
You bought hog. 60 seconds.
Oh.
Lady tells me every 30 seconds how much time we have, and she said 60 seconds.
Oh.
But I do want to thank you guys, and maybe next time some more people would push one.
Yes, a lot of people on the board push one on your keypad.
I did this time.
Yeah, Dart did. If he did, everybody can. Come on.
Yeah, well, appreciate
Don't
you coming on, Dart.
Hey, no problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, it's good to hear people who are informed with some of the stuff that's hitting the heading towards the consumers. You know, in this auto industry, seems to be a lot of options coming right now.
But I still say the electric way is not. I don't know. I don't think it's the way to go.
I agree.
They're not really prepared for it.
Right. I agree. I do. That's full. But other than that, we'll be back next Sunday night at 7 o'clock because I don't think it's a Super Bowl or no race or nothing. So yeah,
you're here.
Okay.
No, the race has been called because of rain, and it'll be on tomorrow at 4 o'clock. There you go.
Oh,
right. There you go.
Man, there was a lot of wrecks on there today. Man,
that was
especially
last
that
year's
one
race.
And yet. Oh, that was last year's.
Yeah.
They.
I thought it was the one towards the pit row. I was like, damn.
Yeah, that was last year.
I was like, holy hell.
They had a message at the bottom left hand of the screen, not the right, not the top, the right, but underneath the other numbers, you had to look for a little message, and all it said was, you're watching 2019's Daytona 500. It was in small print.
I'm not
it was
that
the
down.
Numbers. It was small. I'm not kidding you.
It was hilarious because if you had your TV,
I thought I was missing it,
Zoom,
and I'm like, watching
that
like,
message.
Yeah, I was watching it, and I'm like, I thought I was missing it. I'm like, holy crap, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah. Dark, you belong on this show, I can tell you right now.
Yeah, Dark, you do.
Colin on Saturday nights on the talk show, what is it, Beyond Mainstream? You'll fit right in there.
Oh, absolutely. Well, thanks, Jimmy.
I know, I gotta call in.
Oh, no, never mind, Jimmy. I gave up on you, buddy. I gave up on you.
Well, Dark, hopefully we'll see you
next
Sunday with Peggy
Sunday.
And Adrian and Jimmy.
Yeah.
All right. Bye,
all right,
Jimmy.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, Adrian and Peggy.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Peggy.
Good night, Dark.
Have a wonderful
week. New show, the Family Affair is on. It's a new show. Why don't you go watch that? It's on Nick at Night. Nobody
affair.
Gets that. You know, hell, you people are young. For God's sakes, us old people know what the hell that is.
Yeah, I know.
Come on, Uncle Bill. Come on, Uncle Bill, Mr. French.
Thank you, Buffy. Yes, say good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Jody. Good night, everybody.